Would you open your Bibles with me to John chapter 11? It's kind of interesting. One of the things I'm really excited about today, because I don't have to stand in this box today that I've been stuck with that Facebook stuff. You know, I'm a moving pastor and I love to move and minister. Amen. So I'm thankful already for God's freedom, that we can have freedom in the house of God. Amen. But, you know, the other week when we were last week we had the outdoor services, and we had men ministers scheduled, and it was really good. And one of the ministers, well, actually was my son, due to an unforeseen circumstance, was unable to come. And I got this message like at night, and the next morning I got up really early in the morning and started speaking to the Lord. And the Lord was speaking to my heart about being ready in season and out of season, all right? In other words, don't worry, son. It's all covered. He's gotten it taken care of. And so I got up real early that morning, and the Lord gave me a word, and I put this word together. And then I got a call that we had a stand-in. Matt Cross was coming to stand in for my son, and Matt came and ministered, and it was awesome. It was a great message. But one of the things that I noticed during the week is just about every pastor that spoke referenced what the Lord had showed me before they came. Amen. And so what I'm here to do is we're here to top off what the Lord is doing. And God wants to do a work in every heart and every life. Amen. And one of the things he constantly reminds me of is, I haven't arrived yet. Hello? None of us have arrived yet. And that all of us are on a journey. Amen. We're ever learning, but never fully coming to the knowledge of truth. And once we get to the place where we think we got it all or we know it all, we're in a really dangerous place. Amen. So in Luke chapter 4, we find the account of the death of Lazarus. And if the church, or if Martha and Mary and the friends of Lazarus would have got a hold of this one verse that Jesus spoke before Lazarus died, they would have understood that once Jesus said it, it had to come to pass, because he was God and everything that was spoken becomes. Amen. How many know that that's how powerful the word of God is? Amen. So many times we're trying to speak our words, but God's words is the word that has power and has authority. But he says in John 11, verse number 4, when Jesus heard that his friend Lazarus was sick, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And when I was looking at that, you know, one of the things the Lord spoke to me, and he said, with men, this may be impossible, but all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. In other words, whatever you may be facing, whatever you're looking at, God wants you and I to know that all things are possible to him that believes. Amen. So the devil's constantly trying to twist the truth and confuse, but God's a God that does things decently and in order. Your pastor, if you the ones that know me, you know, this is one of my favorite scriptures, you know. I love what Jesus said in John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this?" Now we know that Lazarus was raised from the dead, but Lazarus died again. Amen. But the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Rather, absent or present, we belong to the Lord. So in this life, you may see this body die, but my soul will never die. my soul immediately is caught up into heaven to be with the Lord. Amen. And then there's going to be, the trumpet's going to sound, and this corruptible is going to take on and put on incorruption. And this mortal is going to put on immortality. And then death is going to be swallowed up in victory. Amen. And we're talking about the physical death. But right now, Jesus says, we go from life to life by the Spirit of God. So the title of this morning's message, with the help of the Lord, is All Things Are Possible. All Things Are Possible. We're going to look at the three things I want to share with you today. Jesus is the way of life. Jesus is the wisdom of life. Jesus is the witness of life. And I'm going to close with Jesus is the wonders of life. Amen. Can we lift our word together? Can we lift it together? You know, there's something about coming in agreement. There's power of agreement. You know, in the world we live in, even in the church, it's difficult for men and women to hardly agree on anything. Are you with me? We all got different personalities. We all have different mindsets. We're all going different directions. And God wants us to come into unity. So I want you to repeat after me and say, hey, you know, I'm not looking for robots, but we're going to come into agreement. We're going to say something in agreement. So repeat after me. Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me. My ears are open. My heart is receptive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You know, we could almost close and just go from there because we came into unity. And you know, as we're singing and we're doing something in unity, that's what happens in the worship and praise, that we're all singing the same thing. You know, it's probably about the only time that we can really come into unity and say the same thing. And the Bible says where two agree is touching anything they ask, it'll be done for them of our Father which is in heaven. Amen. So it's exciting when we come into unity. Amen. Let's ask God's blessing to help me. Father, I thank you, Father God, for your word. And we're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish something in every heart and every life. And as I prayed before, and I'll pray it again, just as Isaiah, as you sent the angel to the altar and you took those coals, and you took those coals and placed them upon his lips because he was a man of unclean lips. Father God, place those coals upon my lips. May the words that proceed out of my mouth be from you and not from me. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer that's gathered here today. And when all is said and all is done and all is complete, to you will be all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. You know, when I was looking at that, one of the things the Lord was speaking to my heart about is the way of life. And John chapter 1, John 1, verse number 4. The word of God says, in him was life, speaking of Jesus. Now, when you look at this, John says, in the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God, the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, the life was the light of man. The light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. But we find in verse 14, that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. And what the Lord wants you to understand, when the word was spoken from the very beginning, when God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. It was the spoken word of God. Jesus is the spoken word of God that became flesh. I believe he showed it to me in a picture one time that the word was traveling through time and all of a sudden it became a man and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of that man, full of grace and full of truth. Amen. And that word is coming to you and I today. That word that brings life. No matter what we're facing, no matter what storms, God says, trust me in the storm. Don't just trust me in the mountaintop. You got to trust me in the valley. It's in the valley where you need my help. It's in your valley where you need my love. It's in your valley that where you need my assurance. No matter what's going on, whether we were responsible or not, doesn't matter. His grace is sufficient. We've got to trust the Lord with all of our heart. He says that we lean not to our own understanding. All of our ways we acknowledge him, and he's going to give us direction. Amen. All we can do, the things that we have no control over, is release them to the Lord. Amen. You know, God says he will never allow more on you and I than we can bear. But so many times we try to carry things that really don't belong to us. How many think that they can handle it sometime? And you try to take it in your own. And then all of a sudden, God, why'd you do this to me? God said, I wanted to help you, but you wanted to do it yourself. He wants you and I to know he is the way of life. Jesus said, I am the way, John 14:6. I am the truth and I am the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to true life, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So many times we get off of the simplicity of the gospel and the simplicity of the word, and we try to get to this so theological that we miss the simplicity that God Christ did for you and I. That he's paid the price when he said it was finished, it was done, it was complete. He's just asking you and I to enter into his finished work. You know, the word of God says in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. He says this, he says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You know, the word of God declares to you and I, and Psalmist says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Amen. It doesn't say that we won't go through some. Like my nephew that they said that he was baptized and he gave his heart to the Lord. And so we believe he's to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. If we truly believe that, where he's at, he's in a better state than he would be here. Now, is it difficult? Yes. Is it hard? Yes. Do we understand everything? No. Amen. You know, but one day we will. I shared with somebody one time, I had a family that somebody tragically died. And I went to this family, and in this one family, 23 people gave their hearts to Jesus the day that I visited from the death of that one loved one. In other words, God took what the enemy meant for evil and he turned it around and used it for his glory. And if you don't understand that, what we're seeing is, hey, we might be missing our loved one or our family member or whatever, but when there's others come to heaven and we believe eternity is real and there's either eternity of hell or eternity of heaven, we didn't want to see Christ die either, but he died for the ransom of many and he died for you and I. Amen. The word of God says, he says for us not to forsake the time of mourning. You know, there's sad times. God knows that he's given us emotions. He's given us feelings. And sometimes we just need to cry. Amen. I don't know, one of the things, I used to hold back my tear, but now I'm one of the biggest criers there are. You might think I'm a crybaby, but that's okay. I cry unto the Lord and he feels my heart. And he knows when I'm tried and I'm going through a hard time, there's nothing wrong with tear. And they used to say, big boys don't cry. Well, that's a lie from the pits of hell. If somebody's telling you, if you're a man, you don't cry, that's not true. Amen. Because when you're faced with that emotion and that feeling and you don't exercise that emotion or that feeling, all of a sudden that emotion or feeling becomes a stronghold or a root of bitterness inside of you. Amen. And you know, sometimes you say, well, I don't believe God, but yeah, down deep and down, you did. And you need to get freedom and healing from that. But he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, be now therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions according to afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life in immortality to light through the gospel. Now, I want to say something here. The Word of God says we overcome the adversary by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Our word of our testimony doesn't save anybody. Hello? What we're sharing with people isn't what saves them. What our testimony does, it brings hunger and thirst to the hearer. And Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Apostle Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. I want you to understand, my stories do not save anybody, even though they make people thirsty and hungry. My illustrations, they don't save anybody, but they make them hungry and they make them thirsty. The only thing that saves is the power of the gospel. Amen. It's the gospel of Christ that saves. So one of the things the Lord was speaking to me about, not only is Jesus the way of life, but he is the wisdom of life. He's the wisdom of life. One of my favorite scriptures, and I guess you, if you get to know me, you'll know that I have some scriptures I use a lot, and they're good scriptures, and I love them. And Proverbs 4:7 says this. It says, "Where wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding." In other words, the devil cannot steal from you what you have understanding of. He can only steal from you and I what we're confused about. And that's why the Word of God declares where there's confusion, there's every evil work. Amen? So what the Lord is saying, he is the wisdom, he is the Word. And John chapter 5. Are y'all with me? You know, if I don't hear amens, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I figure I have to continue on the point. Amen. So if you want to get out for lunch today, hallelujah, praise God, amen. God wants you to understand something. He's made a way for you and I. No matter what you're facing, no matter what's come against you, God has already made a way for you. And he is the wisdom. Jesus said in John 5:24, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, right there, the Apostle Paul said this in Romans 8. He says, there is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. But he didn't stop there. That walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus put it like this. This is what Jesus said. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's God's word, not my word. And Jesus says in John 5:25, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. This has two voices, life in the present and life in the future. Amen? I know my mom and dad preceded me to heaven. I know that I'm going to be rejoined with them. Amen. I know that there's a lot of loved ones and family members and friends that we have this blessed hope in Christ Jesus. But God wants you and I to understand that this life isn't just the eternal life. That I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrected life is every day of our life. We live, we're alive because of what Christ has done. And Christ is inside of you and I. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. The devil tries to make you feel all the time that he's bigger than you. He wants you to think all the time that that thing that you're facing, that thing that you're going through is so huge and so big that you can't overcome it. But the word of God declares to you and I, we are more than conquerors through Christ that gives us strength. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, I'm glorifying him in my weaknesses. I'm saying, hey, Lord, I have a weakness here. I'm not denying my weakness. I recognize my weakness so I can depend on his strength to help me in it. Amen? Because we can't do it on our own strength. Amen? Amen? When I'm facing death and sorrow, I can't do it in my strength. But God says, I got to allow the love of God to arise and just to minister love. Amen? That's all we can do in this hour and this time. So in John chapter 12, verse number 46, Jesus said this. He says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I love the prophet Isaiah, and I love what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. He said, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness of people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen, where? Upon thee. Amen? So we're going to let his light so shine before men that they see our good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. Why do I constantly talk about Jesus? Because he's the salvation to this world. He's the answer for every problem. He's the answer for every circumstance. He's the answer for every situation. He's the answer for every sickness. He's the answer for every disease. He is the answer. If you're looking for the answer, Jesus is the answer. He is the only answer. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he has an answer for you no matter what you're looking at, no matter what you're facing. You know, we're to take the time to listen to him, to hear what he has to say to you and I. And with this, the Apostle Paul, in his second letter to his student Timothy, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're all students. The Butch reminded me that this week that I was leaving out a scripture where when I say study to show yourselves approved, I was leaving out unto God, and he reminded me that I left that out. So he said, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what we're doing. We're rightly dividing the word of truth. And what we're hearing and what we're seeing is what God wants to do in our hearts and lives. But he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, the Apostle Paul says this, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That makes us wise. The word makes us wise. The word of God. Abide in him and his word abides in us. Amen. Every time I'm going through a storm, every time I'm going through a situation, the Lord refers me back to His Word. Amen. And I find comfort and I find strength from His Word. Amen. Amen. So sometimes when we're feeling all alone, open up the book. Read the book. Read the book. And you don't have to read a whole lot. Read a verse or two and say, Lord, speak to me. Allow the Spirit of God to minister to you. Because if you're a child of God, you got the Spirit of God in you. And the Spirit of God will help you. He is our helper. He is our advocate. He's our comforter. He's our friend. Amen. So he wants us to have revelation and understanding. How much that he cares for you and I. How that if we were the only ones, he would have still went to the cross for us. I don't know about you. That's some amazing love, isn't it? You know, when we sing that song, Amazing Love, do we really give revelation when we're singing that, the amazing love that it took for you and I? Amen. But 2 Timothy, he also says, he reminds us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And what the Lord is saying to us, that all Scripture, He is the Genesis through Revelations. He is everything in between. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first. He's the last. And what he is saying, that the law wasn't abolished in Christ Jesus. He was the fulfillment of it from Genesis all the way through Revelations, and Genesis all the way through the Old Testament. They were prophesying of Jesus coming. Amen. It was spoken in Genesis, and it was continued with every prophet, with the major prophets, with the minor prophets. They all spoke of Jesus, and all of a sudden, everything that was spoken became. Every prophecy that was spoken was fulfilled. And if you look at the reality of it, it was written thousands of years before, and it became, amen? So God knows what He's doing, all right? He, from the beginning to the end. And don't you ever think that God doesn't see what you're going through and didn't see it before it ever came. Amen? He's ever knowing, amen? And what he is saying to us is thirdly, we Jesus is the way of life. Jesus is the wisdom of life. But there's also the witness of life. And when I was looking at that, the Lord took me to Romans 10. First, it's about to confess. To confess. What are we confessing? The Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that means I've got to open my mouth and do something. Amen? And it's got to come out of your mouth. If I shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen? We have nothing to be ashamed of because we're trusting Jesus. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we have a water burial site. And what's going to take place in this water is an outward expression of what took place on the inside. The water doesn't save anyone. Jesus is the Savior. Amen. What the water is an outward expression of what took place on the inside. I'm going to go down into a grave of water, just as Jesus was buried in the grave, and I'm going to come up a new creation in Christ Jesus because He's the resurrection and the life. Amen. And Jesus commanded us to do it. Amen. So as we're looking at this, what you're going to do is you're going to confess the Lord Jesus. And once he says, when we confess the Lord Jesus, it's important for us also to profess him. Not just to confess before others, but to profess him to others. Amen. How many in here have a testimony? How many here have something that God's done in your life? How many has God healed or delivered or set free or taken you from plague, brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light? We all have a testimony. We all have something to share. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've witnessed God do some signs and wonders and miracles in your midst. I've seen God do a lot of wonderful things. Amen. And he's the same. Amen. Yesterday, today, and forever. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12. The lunch bell hasn't rang yet. Be calm. Amen. Jesus said this, and this is important for us to get a hold of. In verse number 8, he said, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be not denied before the angels of God." Amen. I'm not ashamed. I'm grateful. I don't know about you, but I know what the Lord did in my life. I know he brought me out of miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but if you've been bound in something, the Lord delivers you. There's something about being delivered. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but God's doing a great work. And remember what God said in his word. We're all on a journey. He who has begun a good work in you is faithful to see it through till it's completed. Amen. God ain't done with none of us yet. Some of those visions and some of those dreams that God gave you and that you've been waiting for, that you haven't seen, that haven't been manifested, hold on. Believe God in his word, just like there was over time. It didn't all happen. They were all expecting it to happen. And some of the people were denying the prophets because they didn't see it. But then all of a sudden, there was that heavenly suddenly. Just like on the day of Pentecost, it said all of a sudden, there was a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the house where they were all sitting. Amen. We want to understand that God, we're looking for the suddenlies, but God is saying to us, what did he say last week? He said, you looking for revival? God said, if you're looking for revival, I'm looking for servants. Amen. In other words, when we're serving, we have a servant's heart, then God can manifest himself and be glorified in our midst. But he says also to you and I, in John chapter 20, and this poor guy, Thomas, he gets picked on a lot, doesn't he? The doubting Thomas, okay? But the Lord uses everything for his glory. Don't you know that Jesus knew that Thomas wouldn't be there? Don't you know that Jesus knew that Thomas would deny him? Don't you know that Jesus knew? He knows the beginning to the end. There wasn't no surprise. But it was so that we, you and I, could get a lesson from someone else. I don't know about you. I would rather learn lessons through other people's trials instead of have to go through it myself. Anybody with me? Or is that just me? Let me learn from what you go through. Let us learn from what we all go through. But he said, Thomas said, Jesus appeared after his resurrection with the 10 disciples, and Thomas wasn't present, and paraphrased it, Thomas came back, and the other disciples said, "Thomas, you missed Jesus." And Thomas responded, "Unless I can put my fingers in the nail prints of his hand or thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Amen. How many, be honest, how many have said to the Lord somewhere along the line, "You show me, Lord, and I'll believe it." Yeah. All of a sudden, 8 days later, remember, God's timing is always perfect. He is never late. He's always on time. Now, I don't understand why it's always a lot of times in the midnight hour. I'd rather show up at 2 o'clock versus at 11:59. But God knows what's best for all of us and how it's going to bring the most glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he said, Thomas, my hands and my side. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God, because he got to see it with his eyes. He says, Thomas, you have seen and believed, but blessed are they that have not seen and still believe. You haven't seen everything that you're hoping for. You haven't seen everything you're desiring. But just as Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are they that have not seen and still believe, because our faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. And if I saw everything, it wouldn't require any faith. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to them that do what? That diligently seek him. So what is he saying to you and I? He is saying to you and I, when Lazarus was in that grave, Jesus told him that he was the resurrection and the life, that he that believed in him would not perish, would live. He that believed in me shall never die. But when Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. I believe if Jesus said, come forth, there people would have come out of the graves everywhere. All right? But he said, Lazarus, he called him by name. And God called you by name. And he purposed for you to be here today because he had something he wanted to say to you. And what happened is Lazarus came out, but Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And he was wrapped in grave clothes. In other words, he was still carrying the muck. He was still carrying the junk. He was still carrying the things of this world that comes upon dead people. Because without Christ, we were dead men walking. Hello? And Jesus said, the wonders of life. Loose him and let him go. And when they loosed him, death came off of him. The reminder of death came off of him. And all of a sudden, he was received the newness and of life. And again, Lazarus still died years later. Amen. But Jesus was glorified in his resurrection. And he'll be glorified in each and every one of our lives. So in closing today, what is the Lord saying to you and I? Simply this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But the question he asked, believeth thou this? So in closing today, Jesus is the way of life. Jesus is the wisdom of life. Jesus is the witness of life. And Jesus is the wonder of life. He wants to do a wonder in you. Will you allow him to? Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish something in every heart and every life of every last one that's gathered here today. Your word says, behold, you stand at the door and knock. You're knocking on hearts' doors. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. And the closing moments of this service, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, or one time you knew him but you're not in that place, you feel him knocking on your heart's door, would you simply say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. Is there anybody at all? Would you just slip up your hand? Is there anybody at all? I see that hand. You may put it down. I see that hand. You may put it down. There's another one here today. I see that hand. You may put it down. Hallelujah. You know, I've shared before in my life, keep your heads bowed, please, that many times I picked up Jesus as my Savior, but nothing really changed in my life till I made him my Lord. Until I let him have control. Until I let him take the wheel and not just be my passenger, but to surrender to him. So I'm going to ask you all to stand with me. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, and maybe you did. And I know the ones that did. And sometimes the Lord has me operate different ways. So what I want you to do today, there's nothing wrong with raising your hands. You know what I always look at this when I raise my hands when I pray? It's an act of surrender. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. I need your will, not my will. So if you like, would you raise your hands with me? And we're going to say a corporate prayer together. Maybe you needed to raise your hand. Maybe you didn't. Don't. This is about you and the Lord. I can't save anyone. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. But let's say this corporately together. Say, Dear Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. I acknowledge you died on the cross, you arose from the grave, you paid the penalty for my sins. You purchased me a place in heaven. Father, forgive me all my sins. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul and making me whole. Now, Father, I need your help. Spirit of God, take residence within me. My body is now your temple. I need your help. I need your guidance. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me and for keeping me in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I speak to the body of believers here today. Your word says to us today in James 1, verse number 25. Your word says, For whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. I pray for every man and every woman that's gathered here today. I thank you for the anointing that's upon each and every life, Father God. Lord, I thank you for every gift that's within each and every one. And I pray, Father God, that you stir up every gift that's in us, that the gifts be activated to be a blessing and minister to others in the body, that each and every one of us need one another. So that you'll be glorified. Father God, we're going to take back what the enemy has stolen. So Father, you called us to go to the enemy's camp and to take back some things. So Father, in your name, we're taking back some things that belong to us. We're taking back our families in the name of Jesus. We're taking them back. We're declaring and we're decreeing they belong to you. Your word declares that no one comes to the Father but by the Son. And no one comes to the Son except the Father draw them. Draw our family members to you like metal to a magnet, Father God. Draw them in such a supernatural way and will never cease to give you praise and give you glory. I thank you, Father God, that you're also the storm bearer, that you bring peace in the midst of the storm. So those things that we have no control over, Father God, we release them to you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And we thank you, Father God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you are going to do. And we'll never cease to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.